pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Ashok Kamath, an alumnus of the prestigious Indian Institute of Technology, Bombay. He was formerly the managing director of the Indian operations of Analog Devices, a major global semiconductor company. Ashok attributes a large part of his success to the fact that he was privileged enough to receive quality education from a young age. The well-balanced foundational education he received gave him strong mathematical ability and enabled him to get into great universities and excel further. However, he saw that this opportunity to access quality education for younger grades in school was not available for a majority of children in the country. During his time at IIT, Ashok's education was made more affordable for him because the Government of India would subsidize the cost of training each student through the program. Ashok always saw this as a badge of honor and investment from his country. So in 2004, Ashok left his corporate career to pay back the debt of honor he felt towards his country by empowering millions of children in the country that are denied the opportunities that he received. He immersed himself into solving the complex problems of education sector in India and developed the idea of the Ganita Kalika Andolana in 2012, envisioning this model to function at a population scale. Since 2004, Ashok has not drawn a salary from Akshara Foundation. And with a small team of 35, is transforming mathematical learning for over 3 million children in India. The Ganita Kalika Andolana, the GKA model, Akshara Foundation's flagship initiative, is aimed at revolutionizing math learning for grades 1 to 5 in government schools and is built around this core idea. GKA is a unique 360-degree model consisting of a comprehensive combination of interventions targeting multiple stakeholders at both the demand and supply side of the foundational education system, including the state system, teachers, and the community. In April 2019, he was conferred the prestigious Namma Bengaluru Award for exemplary work in education. His alma mater, IIT Bombay, presented him with its Distinguished Alumnus Award in 2013 for his various initiatives and contributions to the field of child education. Listen in as Ashok Kamath shares this meaningful journey with the Akshara Foundation and the impact it is creating. Hi Ashok, such a pleasure meeting you after so long. And the work that you've been doing with Akshara is something that is beautiful, meaningful, and impactful. But before we get to Ashok Kamath at Akshara, I want to know what little Ashok was like to the Ashok Kamath that the world knows you today as. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you, Rashmi. It's a delight to be back talking to you. I remember we did a show many years ago. I think it was on All India Radio. And, you know, I enjoyed doing that. And I'm sure I'm enjoying this. What was I like as a child? You know, it's far too long for me to remember. I remember I wasn't stressed out like today's children are. In fact, when I talk to my mother and I ask her if I studied at home, she probably will say you did not do anything of that sort. So I was kind of chilled out, but at the same time, I was fortunate, good learning environment at home, in sense of books and so on those days, right? Also, remember, I grew up in an age of shortages in this country. Everything was in short supply. So yeah, so it was a fun time. It was, compared to today, it was very chill, as the youngsters would say. And I, you know, grew up with a happy frame of mind.
And were you a very brilliant student in school? Because you studied in IIT, and it is quite a challenge getting into IIT, at least today. Yeah. So were you a brilliant kid in school?
So this is the thing, right? When you are in school, you probably are in the top, are a topper. Mm-hmm. When you go to IIT, you realize that you are average. A peer group. Everyone comes from a school where they have taught, right? So everything becomes, you know, average then, you know. So it's your frame of reference, right? Yes, in my school, I was the topper. But in the context of the IIT, I wasn't the topper.
That happens always with the best of the institutions, because the cream is what makes it to the IIT.
But having said that, I think... you know, today children go through a great deal of stress preparing for the IIT.
Yes.
You know, and they burn out even before they get there, if they manage to get there, because the acceptance rate is some 1.5% or whatever it is. And, you know, there are lots of unfortunate things that happen around this coaching business and all that stuff. But those days it was relatively easy. Although I would say that the number of admissions was still small as a percentage. Literally, I would say that, you know, at my times, we prepared for probably 30 days prior to the joint entrance exam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, mostly people would do that. It's very few who took extended courses, but by and large, everyone did, who went to classes, did 30 days, not more than that. But today you see them doing it for several years.
Years, yeah. So getting into the IIT, was it something that you dreamt of and were ambitious to try, or just because you were one of those toppers in your school, it was but natural that you try there first?
You know, I said we grew up in an age of shortages, right?
Correct. So
those days, the opportunities were also very few. Mm. Today, if my son wants to be a musician, I would have no problem with it. Right. Yes. Knowing fully well that musicians probably, you know, don't make lots and pots of money unless they are really, you know, the best in their class. But, you know, those days it was restricted. I think in very subtle ways, everyone around you basically pushed you to become, you know, a doctor or an engineer or an IAS officer. You know, those are the three preferred choices. Right. Accountant chalega. Anything else is you're doing time pass, right? So that was the general attitude. Today, I think the options are so many, and it's actually good to see everything flourish. You can do journalism and do well. You can do many, many, many things that there was not there during our time. And people do well today with those things. And it's lovely to see those opportunities coming up for the young people. I hated biology, so that doctor business was out, and I wasn't sure about government. So the only thing left was going to IIT, right? So
okay, and you made it. So once you got into IIT, what was your basic dream? Finish the engineering, get out, get into a good MNC, and set your career. What happened in those 4 years in IIT? And which IIT did you study?
It was 5 years, and I was in Bombay. I think at that age, you really don't think what you would really want to do. But I can tell you, there have been three things that shape, that are three real pillars of my life. One is my time at IIT Bombay. And that's literally my foundation to my, if you want to call it success, my success. You know, the environment there was so, so inspiring and, you know, exciting. Whether in the classroom, and of course, you had your classroom battles, you know, did like this guy, didn't like that guy. Yeah, I had all of that. And more so, you know, where we used to live on the campus, you know, with absolutely equal in all respects, all of us were. It didn't matter where you came from, poor, rich, you know, urban, rural. None of those divides were there. So it was completely an equal, you know, and the only thing that really mattered is, you know, your merit, right? And so much you could learn. And remember, we didn't have distractions like children have today. No screens, no nothing. I mean, you know, my days, not even computers. So no distractions. So a lot of great conversations happen in the hostels when you don't have all these distractions of today. You talk to people, you get different perspectives, your worldview. So it all gets shaped during that time. So it's not like you get in, like today people know that they've mapped their lives. They say, I will get in and I will do this and I will become, you know, I will join this company and I'll do this startup and I'll do. So we were just figuring it out as we went along those 5 years on the campus, right? We were learning a lot from one another, what was in store, you know. And even those days, you know, jobs were not like they are today. I mean, you know, we still had, there were still a lot of people who wanted to go overseas. So there were many of these things, but essentially in IIT, you learn so much that it basically gives you the foothold into your career, whether you go corporate or otherwise. You know, the ability to think well, think on your feet, you know, whatever I did post my graduation from IIT Bombay was basically because of IIT Bombay.
Okay. And you brought a very valid point, Ashok. Today, everyone is glued to their screens and relationships are all on the screens. It's on messages rather than speaking in person. You want to tell a youngster how to develop bonds that happen in colleges that stay a lifetime, because I'm sure you've made friends who are still in touch and those must be pure gold relationships. So what is it that you'd like to tell the youngsters today about friendships that are forged in colleges?
My take is you can only talk about what happened to you.
Yes.
The youngster today has to make his or her own call because they are in a different peer group, right? So they have to figure out what's best for them in their context. We can only step in and say, you know, this is how I grew up. We had no distractions. We had no screens. So we read a lot. We discussed a lot amongst ourselves. We debated and you did this and did that. And, you know, your worldview was different. That's all you can tell them. But I don't believe we should be forcing any, you know, avenues for them. I mean, that's not our, you know, call to make. It's theirs. Our job is to put options in front of them and say, you go, guys, choose. And guys, the youngsters will choose based on the peer group that they are in, right? So I think, you know, I would still say what I just said, that you know, the hostel life kind of brought out the best amongst us.
Yeah. And then post IIT, once you were done.
IIT was the first one. The second one was the company I worked for the longest time. And it was a great company, gave me a lot of freedom to do things that I, you know, felt was worthwhile. Also, it gave me the financial freedom to do what I've been doing for the past 20 years, right? So I think the IIT was my foundation. The company that I worked for was my consolidation. And the Akshara part of my, you know, or the post-corporate is part of my life is my, you know, putting it back into society. So that's how I look at this continuum, you know, starts from the IIT, goes into my corporate life, and then into the societal thing.
So what prompted you here, Ashok, I would love to know, to get into Akshara, and you were doing well in your corporate life. What prompted you to move to this space of social change?
Yeah, so You know, you go back to what I said, we were in an age of shortages, right? And suddenly you find yourself, you know, the needle has turned and you are now not no longer worried about, you know, your next check or anything. You're not worried about that, right? Because that's that financial security I was telling you. Then you step back at that point, and I was relatively young. You step back and you say, what is it that makes you get all this, if you want to use the word comfort? And the answer was, no matter how I cut it, I came back to say that I got a fantastic education at probably one of the best places in the world for a measly sum of 1,250 rupees for 5 years tuition, okay, which was paid for by the country. I mean, it was subsidized to that extent, but largely paid for by the country. So in my mind, therefore, is a debt of honor. It's not a legal thing, but, you know, you say, yeah. So I think if you can give an equal chance to umpteen other people, that would be, the right way to kind of take. And it also happened at a point when I wanted to reinvent myself, you know, after being in the corporate, what else can you do? So all these things kind of came in. I was 47 then, and it's been 20 years. So yeah, it's been fun.
And once your journey with Akshara began, this is a very noble thought you had to give back. Financial security, 20 years in the corporate world. So are you a man of little wants? Is that why you were happy after 20 years of work in the corporate sector?
No, it's you know, everyone wants to give you horns, right? Noble thing and all that. And I'm saying, you know, am I greedy? Yes, I am, but I have limited greed. Okay. I say I want this much, and I don't really want anything beyond that. So it's limited greed. But at the end of the day, I'm human, so I definitely have greed, right? So I don't know if, you know, limited wants is a function. It's a very subjective thing, right? And, you know, I feel I'm very comfortable. I have my own house and, you know, and everything that I have. But do I have $1 million home? I don't have $1 million home. I don't even aspire to have one. I gave the best education to my children. So, you know, so that was, those are the very traditional, you know, investments that you make, right? But no, I don't think I have limited wants. Is that the question you asked me? Limited wants or little?
Yes, yes, limited wants. Was that the reason after 20 years you quit to join?
No. But, you know, and I was financially secure. So remember, 20 years I've not had a paycheck. So that security kind of helped me.
Okay, so now your life at Akshara. How did it start? What happened through the course of your life there? And what was the journey like? 20 years in a space where you're dealing with little kids. So suddenly from the corporate world where you're dealing with adults, you come into this world of little children. And what prompted you to choose Akshara compared to all the rest that was there around you?
Well, so Akshara as an organization existed 3 years before I got to know of it. And I got to know of it through Nandan and Rohini Nilekani. Nandan was my contemporary in IIT Bombay. So I'd known him from the campus. So I talked to Nandan about, you know, me wanting to do something different. And he essentially asked me whether I wanted to be in education or I think it was something about governance, city governance, because that time that Bangalore Agenda Task Force was on. You wanted to be there or here. And I, you know, said education would be great. And Rohini at that time was one of the co-founders of Akshara. And she and I had a chat and with the other founders and stuff like that. And in 2003, I became the managing trustee of Akshara. In 2004, I quit my job full time. And from April 1, 2004, not to be confused with April Fool's Day, I started to work full time at Akshara. In many ways, we were very naive about, you know, and this is the thing that you carry from the corporate sector, that you think you can conquer the world. We thought we could solve the problem in 3 years, 4 years, or whatever it is, and, you know, be done with it. Here it is 20 years later. We're still at it in many different ways. Yes, we have progressed substantially. But, it was interesting because there's so much of corporate thinking that we brought into Akshara. And I'll tell you the good ones. We brought in the concept of, you know, scale. Because in India, if you look at the primary education sector, you know, the largest supplier of that service is the government. And unless and until you are able to crack that, you know, our numbers are still going to look very, you know, poor, right? So whatever you do, you have to design to be able to address that large, humongous population. I think it's probably the fourth largest population of, if you just count the numbers, fourth largest population in the world, or some such a statistic is there. Also, the other things that we brought in was bring in the right levels of technology at the right time. We felt that if you put fancy equipment in a rural school where, you know, connectivity was poor, both by road and telephonic connectivity. And there are no service capability in the neighborhood if something goes wrong and all that, then all that investment goes down. So don't invest on, you know, these fanciful things that you see in schools in America or Finland or Singapore and all that. You know, we take our lessons, unfortunately, from these places, but we don't adapt it here. So we brought in technologies that were relevant and essential for doing certain things at the right time. And they were not capital intensive in that sense. So that was another, you know, practice that we brought in. We always believed that whatever you do has to be of the highest quality. Just because you are giving it to, you know, the bottom of the pyramid, you can't have low quality content or training or whatever it is that you're offering. It has to be the highest quality. And till date, I think we are, you know, very, very conscious of it and, you know, not making a mess out of that. So, and that comes from saying you give your customer the best product that he could possibly get for the money that, you know, he has. So these are the kind of things that we kind of brought in. Might seem very simple, but it kind of, you know, our mindset changes slowly. Because if you look at it, governments those days were used to NGOs come and say, sir, can you give me permission to do in these 20 schools? And, you know, and that's easy to do for them. But here somebody like an Akshara says, you know, whatever we do, we want to kind of impact all the schools. So our current flagship program, the Ganit Kalika Andolan, in Karnataka, if you take it, is impacting every single government primary school in the state, right? And there are like 44,000 of them. So it was, that was one. And the other one was, we designed everything for, by talking to all stakeholders, right? And that's a great mix because you have multiple viewpoints. You know, parents, you know, usually think, and, you know, illiterate parents, they have never been to school, but their child gets Free tuition, books, uniform, shoes, midday meal, and everything. And in their mind, the school is running well. It's only when you make them aware that their child is not able to read and write or do, you know, simple arithmetic that they get, you know, perturbed. Till then, their worldview was school is fine. Why are we complaining? Right? So bringing in all the stakeholders together so that they can talk to one another. Teachers and parents should be talking to one another as equals. So the data should be the same in both people's hands. You can't have one of them having more data and therefore dominating things, because then that becomes an unequal relationship, and that those are not good. So you want to bring everyone together. So, you know, the ability to bring in all the stakeholders, the ability to ensure that the government is a party to this from the beginning, that they feel that they have a sense of ownership. The community has a sense of ownership. Only when you kind of fuse all these things together can we solve societal problems. And it all has to happen at the same time. It can't be that we do these things linearly. So these are some of the, you know, important things. You know, in the corporate world, we say voice of the customer, they do surveys. And, you know, and where I worked, we would have, you know, three generations of product, one in production, one in design, and a third one in concept. So, you know, you were looking at, a horizon of 5 to 10 years or 5-6 years at least. You know, those are the kind of things you want to bring in here, because it's only when there's excitement and innovation that the lethargy is broken, right?
Yeah. And what were some of the hassles? Usually they say working with the government can be pretty challenging.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Easy for multiple reasons, right? You know, they've been doing these things for years and they're set in their ways. Times are changing. And I know somewhere down the road, you're going to ask me this question about COVID and how that changed things. But even without that, times are changing, right? I mean, if you look at yourself in the year 2000 versus the year 2015, lots of things changed for you, right? It's the very rare individual who actually uses a landline anymore. I mean, I'm sure call centers do, but that's a separate story. Those are leased lines. But, you know, you have a landline at home, but that was meant to be a proof of address rather than a proof for need for communication, right? So things have changed and everything has to kind of adapt to the changing times. And that's very difficult to motivate, you know, lakhs and lakhs of teachers in any state, because that's a large constituency. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a slow process. So you can't lose heart. You have to. So whenever people think in terms of saying, can we, you know, like I said, we were naive. You know, we thought in 3-4 years, we'll solve it. It's absolutely naive. It takes a generation to do that. And it, it has its highs and lows. You know, there are days when you feel very, very bad. There are days when you say, there is some hope after all, right? So those are the kind of things that we battle all the time. And we continue to battle. It's not like, people change, especially at the highest levels of government, you know, they get moved from department to department. So there's a learning curve. And, you know, that process of repetitive, briefing the incumbents for us has always been, you know, there. But by and large, Akshara has been successful because we've cultivated relationships at all levels of government. So, at the Gram Panchayat level onwards, we have, when I say relationships, you know, they know who we are and we know who they are. So it doesn't mean more than that.
Yeah.
When we meet them, it's not a stranger conversation.
And now my question is the scheme that you just spoke about, Ganita Kalika Andolana. Why did you think math is so important?
First of all, there are lots and lots of NGOs who work in the literacy space, reading libraries and so on and so forth. In fact, we also did at Akshara. But there's hardly anyone in the numeracy space, right? You know, most people are scared of math. Fair statement. And I think they're scared because it was not taught to them the right way. You picked up a six-year-old and you threw abstract stuff at that child. 7 ones are seven. So what is this 7 times 1? What is this concept? These are all abstractions. Whereas the way math need to be taught is taking the child from the concrete to the abstract. So you have to have, you know, some concrete manipulatives that the child can recognize and associate with. A simple thing could be a string with beads on it. You'll be surprised that with a simple string with, say, 25 beads, I can teach a child addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. And in the manner that the child understands the concept, not memorize the multiplication tables. Right? So we are hoping that with our effort, over a period of time, an entire generation of children will be able to address mathematics with conceptual clarity rather than, you know, memorizing abstractions. So that the need to give a child that ability was important to us. And by the way, this, you need not be an engineer to do this. A mason, if you see, when masons lay stones, there is a pattern and a symmetry. That's mathematical thinking in a way. The maid who does the rangoli in your house, if you notice, she will put dots first and then draw the lines. You know, so there is an innate mathematical ability in all of us. It's just that the way we were taught math has kind of killed that conceptual, you know, things that you need to have. And third, if you look at it, almost all jobs now, from now on, will require analytical thinking, which math gives you. So for all these reasons, we said, let's focus on this.
Wow. And when it comes to math per se, any story from any kids who came to you or any feedback that you got from schools saying how much children are understanding or loving the concept?
So I'll tell you, one of the things as part of our Ganit Kalika Andolan model is something that we do called a Gram Panchayat Math Contest. Okay, so at a Gram Panchayat level, if you can imagine, on a given day, a Gram Panchayat will have maybe 5-6 schools, right? On a given day, children from 4th, 5th and 6th grades come into one of the schools. And if you can imagine the schoolyard where there are 3 rows of children sitting, and we administer a test. So a 4th grader will be tested for what she should have learned in 3rd grade, one previous year, 5th grader for 4th grade, 6th grader for 5th grade, right? So in the first hour, the children write a paper pencil test. In the second hour, we have volunteers on the ground who correct the papers by means of an answer key that is provided to them. And in the third hour, the prizes are announced and the general performance of the children in the GP contest is talked about, right? All this is done in 3 hours. Now, interesting stories. So a young lad who used to tend sheep could not even think of going to school, very poor, but a teacher persisted and got him into school. And this is a small village. I think it was in Gadal district. And that child was so bright, he got 20 out of 20. right? And when the prizes were announced, both he and the teacher were crying. So I'm saying these are the kind of things that you get to see. A young girl, 2 years in a row, she got the prizes, topping it 20 out of 20. So there is so much hidden wealth, if you can call it that, in our small communities around the state, around the country, that they don't get a chance unless and until they get a opportunity to shine. It'll be wasted out there. Now, are we doing enough? We are doing what we can, but I think there's so much more to be done to give these guys the visibility they need. But it's all out there. I mean, young children can learn math faster if taught well. We are the ones who mess it up for them.
True. The most logical subject, and sometimes it gets so confusing. Like you said, I think from concrete to abstract makes complete sense. Yeah. And you have been here for the last two decades almost, Ashok. Any moment of, I wouldn't call it pride, but satisfaction with what you are in and what you are doing as an impact with your entire team? What are some of those moments that you'll always treasure to say you're on the right path?
So, it's an interesting thing, and especially today when communications are so easy with WhatsApp groups and all that. There's stories that come to you every day, right? But if I were to filter it and say, I think with respect to Ganit Kalika Andolan, number one, I think, is we managed to get a very good kit in the... We designed this at Akshara, a very good kit that every school now has. This is the concrete part of the concrete to abstract, right? And we are very, thrilled about it. And we are now we finished also doing... Earlier, we used to do it for first to fifth grade. Now we are doing sixth, seventh, and eighth as well. So up to eighth grade, children will have access to, because children who are in eighth and seventh and all, they still have a handicap because in the past, they haven't been taught well. So, they also need, a helping hand. I think the second one would be the fact that we did this Gram Panchayat contest. Last year in Karnataka alone, we did, I think it was 2,600 Gram Panchayat contests. And the beauty of it is it was fully funded by the local communities, not by Akshara. So this whole thing, including prize money, everything, comes from the local communities. They raise the money and they spend the money locally. None of that goes outside of that community. So if you can think of about 15,000 rupees per, so that's a lot of money that the community. So it shows that the communities are also invested in their kids in a significant way, right? They just need to know how to do it. If you show them the way, they'll be happy to do it, right? So these are the kinds of things. And remember, it goes back to our original principles that it has to work at scale, right? So, 2,600 Gram Panchayats is one out of two Gram Panchayats in the state. Probably this or the next year, we will be hitting all of them. We managed to involve more than 50,000 young volunteers who give 2 to 3 hours in a month to the school where they study. Right? So if you take 50,000 and 3 hours, that's 150,000 person hours, in a month. That's a lot of, it's like having an additional 30 or 40 employees full time. More than 300 or 400 employees full time. So these are the kind, like I said, earlier I said, we got to engage all stakeholders. The youth is a significant part of that mix, they will determine the course of action in this country over the next 20, 30 years, right? So you have to involve them. They should know what the issues are. And they respond appropriately. So bringing all this in together, so there are hundreds of these things that happen to us on a daily basis, little stories, but they loosely fall into these kind of buckets.
Okay. And now that you're in that reflection space, all of us went into a pause mode during the pandemic. It was something nobody was prepared for. All of us started looking inward. Did anything change for Akshara at all at that point of time?
Well, so at Akshara, we looked at it from how do you innovate? And one of the things that came in our internal discussions was, you know, schools were the first to shut and the last to reopen. We opened bars and malls and cinema houses, but not schools, right? So we said, we got to think of something so that never again will we allow this to happen, right? So three, four things that, you know, prior to the pandemic, we had invested in technology of the entire math curriculum being available as a series of games on your Android phone, on an entry-level Android phone, okay? This was the entire curriculum, and it was in 9 languages, and you just had to download it once, and you don't have to be online and all that stuff. So we had taken care of many of these things. So that was an asset that we had created. And we had this large, like I said, we had this large group of volunteers. So my first thought in the first lockdown was, what do I do with these volunteers? And then I, you know, when the government was going about with the vaccination drive and rural India was not ready to accept it, we kind of put our volunteers to work and said, try and convince as many people to take their first shots at least. Believe it or not, in 100 days, these volunteers went out and got 5.1 million people their first shots. Okay, so that leads you to think that if you were to focus on a problem, you can achieve magic, right? You focused on one problem, just let's go and get as many guys the first shot. And 5.1 million is a lot, given that 68 million is the population of Karnataka. That's like 5 million is a big chunk, right? So that was one of the things that we did. But for teacher training, we realized that teacher training is not going to happen so easily face-to-face post the pandemic also. So we converted everything into AV mode. That's now available. You know, every teacher has access to 25 hours of training online in little bite-sized things. And in, you know, again, we, Akshara is a great believer in the Creative Commons. So we translate everything into 7, 8, 9 languages, so that people around the country can use it. And we put it up in public domain, so there's no monetization of any sort. So we did all of that. And we also did some interesting experiments, which is, how about if I were to use a mix of teacher and technology in the classroom, how will that happen? You know, so Rashmi is a teacher, has 30 kids. So 15 kids she teaches like she would normally do in the, you know, in her class. The other 15, she has a parallel curriculum lesson plan going that depends on the smartphone. That's Monday. Tuesday, the kids are reversed. Wednesday, they are reversed again, and so on. Those things work like a charm. I mean, nowadays, for me, there is no conversation complete without me advocating for creating, you know, remember, Government of India had created something called Sarva Siksha Abhiyan in 2001. I'm saying it's time to go and do an e-Sarva Siksha Abhiyan and build the digital infrastructure in terms of little devices so that all children in the smallest of towns and villages have exposure to this. Once they have exposure, The results are just amazing. So that was our work during the COVID. I mean, we were busy.
See that. Okay. And for you personally, Ashok, did the pandemic shift anything in the way you looked at life, opportunity, or in general?
It basically said, you know, and this, I keep echoing this all the time at Akshara, is we cannot let events like this stop our lives. We got to think ahead to make sure it doesn't happen again. If it happens again, that's why I'm saying organize for e-Sarva Siksha Abhiyan.
Yeah. In fact, I think technology and the advantages of it was the biggest boon of the pandemic. Whether it was schools, nobody even thought online schooling can happen. So Ashok, we are at that point where I would love 3 life lessons from
you. You know, let me share something with you. There's an interesting book.
The 4 Agreements, yeah.
Okay. Huh? So what it tells you is, first of all, it says be impeccable of words. Don't make assumptions. Okay. Third is, I may have missed the order. Don't make assumptions. Don't take things personally. Okay. And the last is always do your best. These are the 4 agreements. I think if you follow this strictly, you're in good shape.
So instead of 3 life lessons, the 4 agreements are what you're going to leave us with. Yeah. Thank you so very much, Ashok, because I think when you decide to make a difference and join a space where you can bring in the difference that you think you can contribute to, life is that much more simple. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for all the impact that Akshara is bringing into the life of little children, who are the future of India. God bless you all, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Rashmi. It was a delight.
Honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shet. Bye.
Bye.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.